You remember the countdown part, at least.
Yeah, I was.
I think we're off the races.
Yeah,
what's it been, a month?
Feels like forever.
It does feel like a long time. I think it's like falling off a bike, though. You'll get right back into it.
A little bit scraped and bleeding.
Like a unicycle, you mean? No. Hello and welcome to episode 452 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia.
Back in Vancouver, rested from vacation.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Do you rest after your vacation?
Do you rest on a vacation?
Not really.
Did you just get back? I don't rest. I gotta cut, like Spirit of the West says, man, you gotta come home for a rest.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of that. I mean, we were busy for sure, but now it just seems like you're back to the grind again.
Okay, well, way to bring us down, man.
Yeah, yeah, back to the grind.
You got the end of summer blues? It's not quite the end of summer yet.
No, there's a few more days.
Yeah, but you can feel it, though. You feel the shadows when the shadows happen. You know, right?
Yeah, it's starting to get dark a little bit earlier.
And you're the guy who, at noon o'clock on Christmas Day, tears the Christmas tree down.
No, I don't, no. No, I don't do that.
What day? When do you take it down?
Usually we take it down after, like, I'd say New Year's after New Year's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, January 1st probably.
I thought there was a stretch where you were Boxing Day guy.
No, not that quick.
Oh, geez. I must have you mixed up with someone else. Someone else I know takes it down and they get depressed. They just get it out. I don't want it. Cuz we were always this is not Christmas episode, but yeah, we were always New Year's Day back in Canada, but here they do it January the 6th, which is too much. Come on.
Yeah. Well, and ours is, we're a fake tree family, so it really isn't too big of a deal.
You just pull a curtain over it and leave it.
Yeah.
That'd be the great move. If you could just collapse it like one of those cups that like turns into the cone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those little collapsing things, just squish it down into the floor.
What about a hologram tree? You just flip a switch and it just disappears.
That's good. I'd like my physical tree better because you could have a crank on the floor and it would play like some Christmas song, like a Jack in the Box, like do-do-do-do-do-do, but it'd be like, oh, Christmas tree, oh, boing, it pops up.
Okay, I think we've taken a turn here.
And that's, yeah, it's summertime. Okay, Amazon, you should buy my tree I just invented on Amazon when it's there.
Okay.
Click through our site and help us out.
That sounds like a good plan.
All right. So vacation. We got stuff to catch up on. We got. I want to hear how Jack's baseball team did. Even though I know, but our listeners are all on the edge of their pins and needles.
Yeah, they got to know.
Go. What happened?
We finished in third in the province. We got a bronze medal. It was mm-hmm. a big deal. It was pretty awesome. The only two teams that we lost to in the tournament. It was a 3-day tournament. We played three doubleheaders. The only two teams we lost to were the eventual gold medalist and silver medalist. So it was a 10
team, right in the world.
10 team tournament. And we were thinking that we had our expectation was we had hoped to get a bronze medal. The first two teams were 3-0 against us during the season. Like, we hadn't beat either of them. They were powerhouses. So we thought it was pretty unlikely that we were going to pull the upset on either one of them. And we played both of them. And turns out that was correct thinking. They were both pretty awesome.
All right.
But our kids played great all weekend. And the bronze medal game was pretty exciting. And I think it was 9-7 finish for us. And so that was against the host team from Nanaimo. It was a really good game. And so the kids were thrilled to go out like and win your last game and win a medal. And like it was pretty awesome. So we got a write up in the paper. Our association is pretty small in comparison to the other associations that we're playing against. And so the gold medalist their enrollment for this age group is about four times as big, and same with the silver medals. Like, they just have way more kids to draw from. And so, you know, there's a distinct advantage there. So our association, being as small as it has not medaled at provincials in more than 10 years.
I think so, you were the only team from Richmond to be in the provincials this year.
There was one. Yeah, we were supposed that we thought that was the case, and at the time that we discussed it, we were the only team in the last 2 years to even make it to provincials. But there was a Pee Wee team playing in a lower tier, like a quite a significantly lower tier, that made it to provincials. They didn't get a medal or anything, but so it was a big deal. We got a write up in the Richmond Review, our local paper, and yeah, it was nice. Really neat for the kids and neat for the parents and coaches too. So, you know, that was our goal from the beginning of the year, is get a medal at provincials. So everyone was thrilled with the result. So, good end to the season. And then the funny thing is, so season ends, you know, we're kind of into moving into hockey now. And so you'll appreciate this. We go to Sport Check, our local kind of sports supply store for those Americans anyways. And we go, I don't think they have Sport Check in the US, do they?
I have no idea.
And anyways, an aside, so we go to get hockey skates because it's start of hockey season, and Jack's skates from last year are the last pair he was using were a size 4. Okay. He's now a size 6. One year later. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is we go in and get hockey skates, and before we end, like, he's like immediately he's right over to the baseball glove section. I'm like, no. Like, this is baseball's the rest now. Now it's hockey season time, so we got to get new skates. So anyway, so we're over trying new skates, and then like I can see that he's kind of like he's sort of like trying to hide something, and like he's sort of behind his back, and I'm like, what's going on here? What you got back there? He has pulled a baseball glove that he now adores, and he is holding it behind his back. And turns out eventually he did with his own money buy this new baseball glove. So did get hockey skates, but the funny thing was, went to get hockey skates, and his sort of theory was, Dad, I need a new glove, and now I've got basically, you know, whatever, 8-6 months, whatever, to break it in so that it's ready for next season. I'm like, okay, all right.
Those come pretty much broken in now though.
Actually, this one didn't. It was definitely a high-end glove, and not a cheap glove, but a very nice glove. But not broken in. So
that's the more expensive ones do not come broken in, and they last much longer.
Yeah, this is really nice. I figured this one's gonna last for five years. Mariucci.
Okay, Mariucci. Yeah, they're good. Yeah,
it was. If he was not paying for most of it, I did chip in a little bit, but if he was not paying for most of it, I would not have bought him this glove.
Like, yeah, what does this cost? What does it cost?
I think it was on sale. I want to say it was like $350, and it was marked down.
Pardon?
But they were clearing it out. It was cleared out for $170, I think is what it was. It was on clearance, right. But it was a $330 or $350 glove. And again,
dude,
I looked it up
because
I was
like, glove is $350. Well, and like
it's part of the pro series of the Mariucci gloves. Like it's a very nice glove. And again, and again, I could see why he liked it. Like, I put it on, they didn't have any other gloves in Sport Check like this. And they had two of this one there left, and they're both on clearance. And I'm like, all right. And then I looked it up. I'm like, how much does this really sell for? Because, you know, they pull the old, oh yeah, it's $8,000, but we're selling it today for $99. I looked it up, and yeah, it sold. The only reason it was marked down is I think it's the 2-year-old version. So who cares? And I was like, exactly.
The technology in 2017 was awful.
Yeah. So
the leather technology.
I've been working to break it in. He's been away with his grandparents playing golf, and I've been breaking in his glove. So
did you buy some glove oil?
I did. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Good. That's the important part, because that's where it becomes a problem, because it dries out.
I've already oiled it and been working it, and been working the pocket, and been wrapping it with the bands, and it's going to be good.
What size is this glove?
It's 11 inch.
It's 11 inch. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, good for him.
And that was the same as his previous glove, was an 11 inch. Yeah.
That's what I play with.
Yeah, and I mean,
like, not first base. First base. I play with the big one, but I don't play much first base anymore. I'm more of an outfielder, and I play with the small infielder's glove because you catch it in the same place. Don't let Jack fall for this nonsense that you need this giant Devon White glove. You don't need that.
Right. No, I like, and I think you get more control of it. But anyways, there's our baseball side. So bronze at provincials, new glove being worked in. Oh, and I did take your advice and bought the Ted Williams book. I just got it like 2 days ago. So I've been been keeping it at work and just kind of sort of thumbing through it when I have a few minutes. But yeah, nice little read. I like it.
It's a great book.
Like, yeah, all the old references, all the old baseball references. Yeah.
We got all the pictures of the best hitters in there. And they're all from like the 1800s. Hey, there's Cap Anson, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Honus Wagner. There he is.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a quick update on us. Our season will not end. It just keeps going. It's ridiculous. I wish it would end. We still have 4 more games left. We keep winning, which is nice. While I was on vacation, we had a few games and the guys won. Without me, which I was like, all right, you can't. I don't like that so much that they don't need me. But however, 2 of the games they did not win by the mercy rule. So I like to say, okay, if I was there, we would have 10-run the guys. And I got back and we played a couple games on Sunday. We won those as well. So we haven't lost in a long time. I think we are 22-2. That sounds right. We got 4 games left. Magic number is 2. If we win 2 of our next games, which we will likely do on Saturday, we finished first place, no question.
Cool.
There you go.
And then the playoffs.
That's a little controversy.
Well, there might not be playoffs.
There are playoffs. We are in them. It's a weird thing. It's a very weird system. Don't really need to get into it on the air right now.
All right. So it might just end?
No. We will play. Like I said, it's highly controversial.
Okay, all right.
I can get into all of it, but I'm guessing our listeners do not care about the controversy.
No, just tell us at the end if you guys win.
But that won't even be, that's not even the controversy. So, yeah, it's awesome. Good times over here in Germany. Let's make everything more complicated than it needs to be. That's the method over here.
Okay.
All right, so that's the baseball update. Now, here's a little teaser. We're not talking about it, but we're going to tease it. You bought a new camera.
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's talk about that next week because we don't have time for that.
Okay. All right. We'll leave that.
I'm eager to hear all about it. I would maybe people want to guess what you bought, but we'll just leave it at that for now, and then we'll hear all about it maybe next week or soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we like to call a cliffhanger.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, not really, because we said exactly what it was, so I think it's...
But not exactly what it was.
Well, then it's a new camera.
You could have bought an Arri Alexa. We don't know.
Okay, all right.
If you did, that'd be awesome, by the way. We'd have to... Now, I don't know where you'd get that kind of money. Honestly, it's worth more than your house, but...
Okay, I didn't...
Well, maybe not now. It's probably about a push now. Depending with the market. It depends where the market is.
Okay.
A little bit of a dip I've heard lately, so probably about a push. You could probably sell your house and buy that camera.
Okay. All right.
So don't do it. Don't do it. Horrible investment.
Okay.
Especially if you have to live out in the street. Like, what happens when it rains? It's just your camera's going to get ruined.
Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah. Reminder, monthly challenge for August is hot. And we'll take care of that next episode. Spoiler alert, even though this is airing on what, September the 2nd? Something like that? Sound right?
Sure.
Is that when Labor Day is? September 3rd, yes. Maybe?
Yeah, Monday is Labor Day, so...
Whatever. Monday's Labor Day, so that's technically September, but because of the weekend being a long weekend, we are recording a couple days early, and we want to give everybody as much time as possible to get their hot submissions in to the monthly challenge. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, or hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we'll check that out. Now, a couple people have tagged us in it, at Two Hosers. That ensures that we see it. I bet you, I didn't even realize this, that it probably also means that we get added exposure. If that's the case, cool. That's what we call an ancillary benefit. I don't know. Is that what you call it?
Sure.
It sounds awesome. It sounds like something you would learn in Econ 101.
Yeah.
Like an ancillary or in taxes. That's yeah, you got dinged. How come you're in prison? I did not declare all my ancillary benefits. Anyway, point being, we're going to do that next episode. We'll review the listener submissions. So make sure to throw those up on Instagram. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting? Now, we're going to talk about vacation stuff as the topic of the show. So did you shoot anything outside of that? Outside of that and outside of the new camera?
No, I didn't.
Nothing interesting.
Nothing interesting.
Stuff? You didn't shoot baseball stuff?
Nope. Didn't even bring my camera. Didn't even take a camera out. So the only thing about that was, in retrospect, you know, because we get the bronze medal, like kids are all jumping up and down. And, you know, of course, you know, right afterwards, they hand us the medals. They want to take a few team photos. I don't even have a camera. Plus, you know, they want me to be in the photos. I'm one of the assistant coaches. So right. In retrospect, I thought, oh, you know, if I'd brought a camera, I could have set it up on a tripod. I could have got my wife to man it. And then I could have gotten kind of the team photo, you know, that probably would have been, you know, happily exposed, or sorry, I shouldn't say happily, nicely exposed and evened out and everything. And so I didn't do that. So there was one of the dads, and he had a SLR, and he had a, you know, a 70 to 200 like Nikon lens. And so he did a good job. And so, and it was an impossible time of day. It was like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, no shade at all. Like, so sun right overhead. So everyone's wearing baseball hats. And
did you tell him, hey, please shoot raw?
I did not give him anything because again, it was one of those things where, I was just like happy that someone else was doing it. So, he took the photo. You know, did the best he could in terms of trying to get a sort of in the middle exposure. And then, you know, I asked afterwards, I'm like, oh, can you send me the full resolution raw files if you have them? He sent me JPEGs, in which case the coach asked me, oh, can you, you know, put some text or something at the bottom so that we can print these for coaches? And I said, yeah, sure. So, but yeah, like you said, I specifically asked for the raw. He did not send me raw. I got JPEGs.
He did not shoot raw.
I feel like he probably did shoot raw and JPEG, but just didn't send me the raw. So anyway, so as it turned out, you can't do a lot with JPEGs in terms of shadow, bringing up the shadows and
no, that's not true. You can do a lot.
Oh, it just looks terrible. Yeah,
until you do it with the raw, and then you're like, oh no, that's a lot.
Yeah, and again, I did make some adjustments and. Yeah. The photos are fine. Like, again, it's trying to see their faces. Like, that's the biggest problem because, you know, the exposure is basically, especially when you've got all this green grass and everything, like the exposure is too dark when you have the shadows that are cast at 2 o'clock in a clear sunny day. So, trying to bring that up and then not blow everything out is tough sledding.
It is tough sledding. That's for sure. But yeah. Again, you don't have to. You know, if you don't have to do it, that's kind of nice too. Like you didn't have to pack your camera and your tripod across the ferry. And
yeah, and I did take my RX 100. I just never used it. I didn't even snap a photo. As soon as I saw this other dad with the camera and he was, you know, and it was, again, all our games were midday. So I thought, oh, well, you know, it was nothing but sunshine the whole time. And I thought, well, none of these are going to be great anyways. Like it's the wrong time of day to be doing this. So, I was much more into the games too. And so it was nice to not, I had no video, no camera and just enjoyed the experience. So
now you have a relatively new iPhone, right?
I do. Yeah.
Like well, an iPhone relative, 6 or something?
No, it's a 7. I have a 7.
Oh yeah. That's great. That's
good brand new.
Yeah. So that means you can, well, yeah, sure. But newer than mine. I have the SE, whatever the heck that even means.
Yeah.
But I can make phone calls on it, which I hate doing anyway, so I don't know why I have it. But but I do. It does run Lightroom. So have you downloaded Lightroom?
Yeah, I have it on there. Again, I hardly use my phone to take any photos, but when I have, I've used
have
that.
You snapped a photo using Lightroom's DNG mode?
I'm not. I'm gonna say no because I didn't know that mode.
You would have to go and do that physically. So what it will do is it shoots its version of RAW, right? DNG, digital negative, but it's RAW. It will shoot your camera can handle shooting raw images.
Okay.
That the beauty is there's a little workaround because I don't care for the new Lightroom, like the actual Lightroom CC. I like the old one. I'm just stuck in my ways that way.
Me too. I agree.
Yeah. But here's the deal. Is once you, because you have that account, you snap your raw photos on your iPhone. You get home on the network. You have to set this, otherwise it uses your data. So make sure you set this. It automatically uploads to your little Creative Cloud account that you're not even using. Neither am I. You have a terabyte and I'm using, you know, 100 meg of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It uploads it. It then shows up in your Lightroom CC, the one that you don't use.
Mm-hmm.
See, boom, there is. It pops up in your, on your computer. So all I do then is I pick out the ones I like. I export them as raw files and then import them directly into my regular library, which I use. And now I now have images shot on my iPhone that were raw, and I can go in and go crazy with all the normal raw things that you need.
Gotcha.
Now, for most iPhone photos, I don't do this because who cares? It's you know, it's taking pictures of just random things that you don't really, you're not going to print out. But in this case, now, in my case yesterday, we got back from holidays a couple days ago and ended up going out yesterday with the kids, my wife and I took the kids out about an hour from here. It was like this big kind of lake sort of thing and a hike. And I was just done with taking pictures. I just didn't care. So I didn't even bring any, I didn't bring a camera. I didn't want to. But a couple opportunities popped up and I thought, oh, well, I do have my phone. And bam, I snapped like three images in Lightroom RAW. Blam, got them. So very handy. It would have come in very handy in the situation, you know, with your team photo there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you don't want to pack something. Because you probably had your phone with you.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely check out the DNG mode in Lightroom. It comes in very, very handy. I'm not going to make a career out of it. It's not going to be my new camera. But in terms of, hey, I don't really feel like bringing a camera, it does a great job.
That's a good tip.
All right. Did I shoot? Oh, I shot a cover. I think the last time we talked, yeah, it's the last cover. So this is the very next cover for our last home game this Saturday.
Okay, the Pulp Fiction.
There it is. So you do get the reference. I'm worried the Germans aren't.
I had a Pulp Fiction poster in university, so.
Right.
You wouldn't even have needed the picture of the fellas on there, just the color scheme and the font. I would have picked it out.
Whew.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, because I wanted some pretty, obviously I loaded up the original poster is with Mia Wallace on there. What's mm-hmm. her name? Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
So I wasn't shooting that, but I just, like, one of the guys on our team happens to have that long haircut. Called a haircut. There's no cutting involved.
Yeah, yeah. Long hair growth.
Yeah. So I've been basically. So I've been. So I always kind of brainstorm ideas for, and I hadn't thought of this one until like a couple weeks ago. Wham! It just hit me. Because we also have a new player this year, Lance, who's from South Africa, and I was like, okay, well, this kind of works out perfectly. So I ordered. That's a wig. Obviously, I ordered that on Amazon.
Okay, another prop required for a photo shoot.
Yeah, I spent a little more money this year than I wanted to, but it actually may work out. I got a lead on maybe some work based on this. Someone's been looking at my covers and wants to maybe do some work in the future. So
cool.
Hopefully paid work. That's my favorite kind. But generally,
they just we'll want you in the backyard with a wheelbarrow.
You get some exposure. Yeah. Yeah, that's what my kids will die of if I don't get paid.
Okay.
So anyway, so I loaded up the original poster, which I also had on my wall, right next to my Ralph Macchio Karate Kid poster, and then Kurt Cameron and Pulp Fiction. Those are the big three.
Okay.
And so anyways, yeah, I wanted to copy it. I copied the general idea, but obviously she's on the cover, so I had to kind of come up with. I couldn't recreate the background that was there. I kind of wanted to do the background from the scene in the apartment, but I didn't have that set laying around.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of chose like a neutral background. And that's what that was. Shot these guys. But the big problem became, how do you make the cover look weathered? Like the actual poster, it looks like the weathered cover of a Pulp Fiction book, right?
Right.
How does one do that? Like, that is not easy to do.
Good
turns
question.
Out.
Yeah. What'd you do?
Well, I looked at a bunch of, I started watching a bunch of tutorials on YouTube on how to do it. And wow, were they long. And so I didn't get past the 3-minute mark on any of them because there's so many steps involved. And so I decided to go old school like I used to do. And so what I ended up doing is I had created this exactly as you see it, but without the weathered. Like, so this is pretty much how it was. I then decided to save a copy of just the background, just the red and the sort of bluey black background.
Okay.
And got it printed as a 10 by 15 centimeter, so 4 by 6 in your neck of the woods there. I went and got it printed, brought it home, and kind of wrinkled it up a little bit, and then took a jackknife and scratched it. And then took it out in my yard and photographed it, which kind of resulted in the sort of like the flare on the left hand side, like behind Vince Vega there. So the uneven light, which I kind of like, by the way, that's just the reflection coming off the glossy paper, and basically laid that in behind all the graphics, behind the two guys and the actual graphics. Added a little transparency on like on the Spieltag, the headline there, the top. And that's how I created the roughed up background.
Cool. So really kicking it old school.
Yep. Kicking it a little more effort than I wanted to do. But, you know, I kind of like how it worked out. And then the big issue became, what's the headline going to be? Like magazine covers tend, like Sports Illustrated has, you know, hey, whatever, some fancy thing. So I needed a headline. All the quotes from the movie are, there's no PG-13 quotes. You know, and so us were like Ezekiel 25:17. What do you do? And so I went with very, very deep reference, which I'm guessing you get.
Was that the like I don't remember. Was that the restaurant or something?
That was the name of the burgers they were eating in the apartment.
Okay,
Big Kahuna.
See, burger. I thought you were gonna say Royale with cheese.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense that they could be the Royales with cheese. That was going to be it. But that doesn't make any sense. And so these guys are like Big Kahuna was like the big surfer guy. And so, you know, you're a big dude, like you're a big slugger kind of thing, the Big Kahuna. That makes sense.
Oh yeah, it makes sense in the baseball reference. I just didn't remember it as the Pulp Fiction reference. So
oh, the Germans would be wildly confused.
Yeah, sure.
And wonder, you know. But the good news is, so neither of these guys brought a suit, and I own one black suit and one black tie, and so they're both wearing the exact same suit, which is nice.
Nice. The magic of photography.
That's the magic of Photoshop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway.
It looks
so
good.
I tagged Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson in it, so we'll see if they respond. Hashtag they won't. There you go. All right. Let's get on to the topic. Vacation.
Okay.
Like the Go-Go's said. What'd you do? We'll get to mine in a sec. I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll exhaust yours.
Sure.
See how far we get, and then we'll get into mine if need be.
We did what we usually do, which is go to a Soyuz, which is in the interior.
Hey, hold on. What's that? Completely messed this up. We skipped the photo challenge.
Did we have a photo challenge?
Yeah, we did. Vacation.
Oh, okay. And then that can lead into our discussion. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, but it's two separate things. So let's do the photo challenge first.
Okay.
Like we have the other 451 times in a row.
Play the music. Play the photo challenge music.
That might be
time
I mean,
for
we
the
might
photo
get sued.
Challenge.
We might get sued by Johnny Carson. Or not, because that was a horrible rendition. All right, since we'll talk about yours first, let's talk about my challenge first.
Okay.
All right. There you go. There's my kids on vacation.
Cool.
What do you want to know?
Where are you at?
Spain.
Okay, and I'm
Costa Brava.
This is Blue Hour.
This is,
or is it just overcast?
It's overcast. Yeah, we went out. This is probably magic hour. Except for we're eating it because the clouds are just coming in.
Okay, and what'd you shoot this on?
This was the 5D Classic with the 85 mil lens. And I shot this with a special filter that I'm pretty fond of.
I was going to say, is this like the Promist thing?
No. This is one called Seafoam.
Okay.
Which is basically no filter, but you take your camera to the beach all day and have the wind whip sea air and sea water all over the lens, and then you think you clean it, but you don't.
Perfect.
And basically, so instead of cleaning all the salt water off your lens, you just smear it around, and it creates this effect. I swear, this was a complete accident.
Okay.
I thought I cleaned it, went out there and shot, and I'm shooting. I'm like, man, the contrast is just all over the map.
But like, that LCD is so bad that sometimes you just never know.
Yeah, so I can't tell. So I'm seeing it through, but I'm seeing it through the viewfinder too.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh man. So like, I take it to the beach. I would wrap it in a plastic bag and make sure like no wind was whipping like because it's Costa Brava means wild coast, and so it's because all the wind and the sand whipping around and stuff. It's beautiful. But in that case, and so, you know, we get back to the RV at the end of the beach day, have some dinner, go out for pictures. And I'm like, oh, I better give the lens a quick wipe down, which I do. I have a little cloth there, give it a little wipe down, think it's all good. So I'm looking through the viewfinder, and I'm like, yeah, something's weird. Like maybe the viewfinder's messed up because I know I cleaned the front element. So I'm trying to clean that little viewfinder in the back, but you can't. Even if when you take the little piece off of it, you can't get at it, right?
Right.
You need a Q-tip or something. I don't have you have Q-tips on the beach? I don't know. I don't
know.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'm just writing it off. And I'm looking at the LCD like, nah, something looks weird, man. Like, oh no, did I get stuff in the camera? Like, is the sensor covered? But I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. I can see it in the viewfinder. You don't look at the sensor from the through the viewfinder. So if it's on the mirror, that doesn't mean it's going to be on the sensor. So I'm just confused. And so I'm snapping away and like, all right, my kids are cooperating for 8 seconds and then they stop. And that's when I realize I did not clean it very well. So I ended up cleaning it off and got some normal pictures, which we'll maybe see later or next week or something like that. But meanwhile, I actually ended up getting back. I love the pastel look and I love how this really looks. It's kind of got that Promist look to it without the added little grain to it.
Sure.
I like the little pastels in the background and all that. So there you go. So this is just kind of a nice open beach, decent light. Wasn't exactly magic hour, which we shot a couple other nights, but that's that.
Nice. Yeah, I like it.
All right. Now yours action packed.
Yeah, we went tubing. We had friends, a group of friends. So there's actually quite a big group of us that went to a friend's place. So went to a Soyuz, and just across, there's like an American border that you cross. Like it's 2 minutes out of town in a Soyuz American border that goes to a little town called Oroville, Washington.
I've been to Oroville, Washington, man.
And so we have friends that have a place right on the Oroville side of the lake. They have a boat, and there is five families. These are kids that we play hockey with, our friends that we play baseball with as well. And so, you know, all of our families who were staying in a Soyuz at various locations, we all converged on this friend's place that we all know from hockey and spent the day out on the lake with their boat. And the kids went for multiple tube rides, and they did knee boarding, and they did all the water sports. So I think,
Who has the boat?
A friend of ours who was one of our assistant coaches for hockey. A fellow.
This is the best advice. If you've listened to 451 episodes, you're about to get the best life tip of all time right now.
What's that?
Never own a boat.
Yeah,
have a friend who owns a boat.
Yeah, it is one of those things that I agree with you 100%. But man, did the kids have fun that day. Like we were there from, I want to say about 10 in the morning until probably, 9 o'clock at night. And they just kept going out on the boat to do different things over and over and over again. Right. And so at one point, I think I sent you a sort of a wider shot with like, there's three different tubes going, I think seven kids. So there's three on a big middle tube and then two and two on either side. And so, some shots I took wide, but I was probably out on the back of the boat in this session for 45 minutes to an hour, and I probably took, you know, 300 photos like in that time. Right. I had the 70 to 200 on the 5D Classic, because again, I wanted that was my beater camera that I used for this kind of vacation, and I was just kind of snapping all the fun action shots as the tubes would kind of collide, and the kids, you know, were always had these great facial expressions. And so it's sort of the biggest problem is which photos to throw and which photos to keep, because a lot of them are similar, but it's the facial expressions that kind of make for the fun photos, and it's the splash of the water and the action. So I just quickly, before we started, I hadn't really selected a photo. I knew I had a bunch and I could pull something, but quickly before we recorded, I was just thumbing through and I'm like, yeah, I'll pick this one. But I could have picked, you know, from 50 others that are similar with just different shots of motion and action and smiling. Sure. But I liked the facial expressions, and I really liked just what all the water was doing. It sort of brings life to the photo. The water's kind of maybe even the key subject in this image. So I just thought it was one of the ones I liked, and liked the colors, because it was midday when we're doing this. And so again, some tough lighting situation. So the reflection on the water here really works well. Sometimes you get too much shadow and their faces aren't well enough illuminated, or you're going to get, you know, their face in shade depending on what position their heads are in, and right. And then bring up that shadow kind of overexposes the background. So I like the evenness of this exposure. I really liked the water in this shot. So there you go. But yeah, just a fun day of shooting photos.
Now, this is the other thing too. So the boat owner, he should know, it's like, hey, never be a photographer. Have a friend who can take pictures.
Oh yeah. They love the fact that, like, I did this last year at their place as well. And then they get like basically a summer worth of the photos of their kids doing their water sports in, you know, the day that I show up. So they right. love photos, and they have photos all over their place. So they're really appreciative of the fact that I do this. So it's a good relationship. Our kids get the fun action adventure, and they get the guy that captures it and provides all the edited photos for them. So it's good. At one point, I should actually, I didn't go through and find all the photos, but at one point I was on a jet ski, like passenger with my camera, shooting the kids kneeboarding kind of from sort of the side behind, like a totally impossible vantage point. You couldn't get any other way. And that's one of the more difficult things to do, is to have your hands on the camera, be going full speed on a jet ski where, you know, you're hitting the waves from the boat because the boat is creating a wake and your jet ski's jumping over it, and not fall into the water or lose your camera while you try to shoot this action.
Yes, totally worth it.
Yeah, so I'll send you one of the jet ski photos that I took that, yeah, is a very, very cool vantage point of the action.
And so did you bring like a plastic bag or something to throw your camera in when you weren't using it, or how did you protect it?
No, I mean, come on. What are you talking about? Plastic bag? No, I didn't do
it. Well, you have fresh water. You did or you didn't?
What's that?
You didn't protect it?
No. God, no.
Okay.
This is the 5D Classic we're talking about.
Right. It still takes a beating, though. But I mean, in all fairness, it is, you know, you're fresh water. It's not quite, you're not out with the sand whipping around and all that stuff. So it is a little different.
Well, once you're in the boat, like when I'm not shooting photos, like it's not getting sprayed or anything. I'm in the boat, right? It's the, like it's not getting wet unless I drop it in the camera. Like my camera from the boat, and all the splash and everything, like this image is probably cropped. They're probably at least 30 feet away from me, maybe more.
Well, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about like when you want to put your camera down, take your shirt off and have a martini.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have a martini. There was no martinis on the boat. But
what?
Yeah.
See, okay. Here's the thing is when you're doing something like this, A, you have a friend who has a boat. B, you have a friend who is a photographer. That's you.
Yeah.
And then three, you have a friend who's a raging alcoholic and does day drinking. And then, like, you have everything dialed in.
Okay, all right. I'll keep that note, and hopefully next year there'll be a martini bar on the boat.
Well, I'll be there. I'll be there.
All right.
I'll be the guy. We'll make some Aperol spritzes for the boat.
Sounds good.
Yeah. No. What I like about this is the fact that I checked the exif data, and it does say it's 10 to 3 in the afternoon, which is not egregious. in the sort of in August, but it's not great either.
Yeah.
And so to be able to get a good exposure like this, I mean, you do have to probably snap and snap and snap, and you're going to get some throwouts because of the shadow, and you kind of wait until, you know, the guys swing around to the exact right position.
Yeah.
Because backlight would kind of suck here, but
yeah.
This looks great. All right, let's hear about your vacation now. Now, this was a Soyuz.
Yeah, so we went to a Soyuz, same place we've been for a number of years. So for anyone who was listening last year, the year before, and the year before that, we have a little spot we like to go to, sort of a motel on the beach, really nice kind of family spot. It's got a nice beach, and, you know, for the bulk of the vacation, you kind of...
Two bedrooms,
yeah, and you kind of go just basically down to the beach, you float around on floaties, you play in the water. We had multiple groups of friends that all went up during the same week at different places, all within, like, you know, two to three minutes away. And so
now, you have to book this in, like, January?
You have to literally book the week a year ahead. So when you leave, right, you have to reserve for the following year. So this is booked way, way out. And so you basically spend your day in the lake, and then kind of, you know, there's a little town with, you know, small town kind of stuff in it. And, you know, you hit the ice cream shop in the evening and you play whatever beach related games. We have that spike ball thing, and we throw the football right around in the water. So that's kind of what the vacation is. And you do that for a week. And some of our friends were staying at a place where, you know, they have swimming pools. So we go over to their place and swim, and you barbecue in the evening. So a pretty, you know, laid back vacation with the kids, because there's so many different kids up there that we know, just kind of having fun together doing water related things. So that was basically a vacation. And the funny thing is, like, you know, every year I bring the camera. I usually bring the beater camera, so the 5D Classic, and then a couple of lenses. And that's kind of the setup that I brought again this year. So I knew we'd go to the lake, to the spot with the boat. So I thought, okay, well, that's the 70-200. And then I thought, okay, and then, you know, what else do I need? So I think I just brought a 50mm. I think it was those two lenses. I don't know if I brought the 85. Mm-hmm. I don't remember ever taking it out if I did bring it, but I had the 50mm, and, you know, so I'd get in the water and shoot some photos with the 50mm. But as it turns out, here's what I realized, is that the photos just kind of in the middle of the day standing around the water, like, I didn't shoot any. So outside of the actual day where we went to our friend's place, I probably shot 15 photos the rest of the time. And that's not 15 keepers, 15 photos. Like, I think I took a couple of my kids just kind of in the water to document that we were there, like, just to have that photo, mm-hmm, of, like, oh, Nana, my wife and my daughter kind of out on their floaties in the water. Like,
and
just
they're slightly taller now.
Yeah, and they're slightly bigger than last year. And then I took, you know, my son has the inflatable alligator that he's had for, I think this is 3 or 4 years now. And so he always kind of, he does this thing where he tries to stand up on the alligator. Well, I took that shot because I have that from a couple of years. I'm like, okay, he's getting much bigger now. So I'm going to take him standing up on the alligator. And those were really the only photos I took. I think I took one of him jumping off the dock because I felt like I have to have that photo each year. And after that, the camera just went away. And sure enough, only showed up for the lake day. I did shoot one at the lake, one group photo, because I think there was something like 21 or 22 people, and you put all the families together that spent that day out at our friend's place on the lake. And so I used the 50mm lens on the 5D Classic and just set it on a table, and then did a run-in on that, and mm-hmm, and just in the evening, and shot a huge group of people. So I can send that photo, because that's kind of like a big group shot on the balcony of their place overlooking the lake. Like, it's not, I couldn't get back far enough to really get much of the lake, but I just got a huge group shot just before we, mm-hmm, had dinner. Like, they just said, oh, can you take a group shot? And so I did that.
But so you don't need to see the lake, because you guys know where you were.
Yeah. So it was more just kind of like, here's a photo of, like, our big group of friends that day. It was more for us. Like, it's not like it's anything fantastic as a photo, other than the time of day is good for exposure. But it's just the fact that, hey, we wanted kind of to document, like, this is the group of people that we spent this really fun day at the lake with.
Nice. So I'm looking at a couple of these tubing photos. And like I said, you could have picked any one of these. The triple tubing's good. Not as much action going on at once.
Yeah, yeah.
But cool.
Yeah, just, and that just the fact that, the triple tubing's not the one where the one tube goes right over the other
tube. I'm saving that for last.
Man. Okay.
That's your cleanup hitter right there.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, there was that. That was just kind of more to show, like, this is how many kids we had on the tube at the same time, yeah.
7, I can do the counting.
Okay, yeah.
That's cool. And then you got the tubing friends. Neither one is your kid, which is nice.
Yeah.
I don't mean that like that way, but for other people.
Well, yeah. And I almost used this as the challenge, just because I liked the foreground, middle ground, background sort of effect of what the water was doing. So I just thought
this is great. They must love this. The families of these kids.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the boy on the left, like, it's his family that has the boat and the place and everything. And so, I always like, and he's a very photogenic kid. So I always like to get some of their kids because, like I say, they're putting us up and they fed us lunch and dinner. It was like, it was quite a day. But yeah, the other photo. The one with all the kids is nothing spectacular. It's just to kind of show, here's what was going on. I don't even think the boat at this point, someone had wiped out and they're just about to start going again. So there's really no movement in the water, but it was just, hey, here's an opportunity to show, here's the general setup. And then, the last one was kind of a funny moment where the one tube went right over and then came right back. So no one fell out. The kid on the top tube on the left, I think there's at one point where he's completely hanging off the side of the top tube, but he actually doesn't fall out and they go right across my son and the other boy and then they come right back again. And then the expression of Jack when they come back across again is even better because they can't believe what just happened, right?
Nice.
Yeah. So no, all in all, just a really, really fun vacation and very sort of relaxed. And I did not shoot a lot of photos. So that's the theme.
Now, did you just bring, you brought a camera only, you brought nothing, like you didn't bring a laptop or anything?
Nope, nothing like
that. You
don't
own a laptop, do you?
I do not. My wife does, but we elected to not bring that.
Okay, all right.
So I didn't have anything, no uploading on the fly or anything. I had to wait till I got home and then I had, actually, you know what? Not related exactly to my vacation, but I did, we had one day before we went up to a Soyuz, I met my wife's my wife and family in Vernon, and then we drove to a Soyuz, but we spent one day with some other friends in Kelowna just for the day, and they had good friends of ours that we know from down here, but they have parents that, the place that has like the backyard golf green. So I probably had photos of it last year, but they have like a full golf green in their parents' back place and an apple orchard. So we went and visited them for a day. And again, this is my wife's best friend and her sister was visiting in town from New York and she had a newborn baby. We're talking like a four week old baby, something like that, but very, very new baby. And I sort of offered, hey, you want me to take some photos, some family photos and stuff? Cause they don't have any real, pictures of the baby with, mom and dad and the extended family. So we did some of that. So that was kind of fun in the apple orchard and took some nice family photos one day. So I hadn't really done newborn stuff like that, but that was fun. And then they also have a puppy golden retriever. So the parents have one and the puppy is, again, a couple months old, but just, again, like you can imagine, the cutest puppies in the world, in my opinion, are golden retrievers. And so took some of the pictures of the puppy as well. And again, trying to get a puppy to cooperate in a big group family photo, that's fun. So we did manage to get some, but just when you have a really sort of picturesque backyard, like an apple orchard with a golf green, it's fun to kind of make your way around the property and look at different sort of backgrounds and you have lots of options. And so that was fun. So I took some photos there.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was all in my family vacation. A ton of photos from that day at the apple orchard, a ton of photos from Orville, and then basically not a whole lot in between that.
That sounds like a vacation to me, man.
Yeah. All right.
No, because I went out when I was, okay, I'll get into mine, but when we went, like there were certain times where I was like, am I taking enough photos? Like, I feel like I'm not doing my job here. But I did. I took a lot of photos, so it worked out in the end. So we went to Spain, which is a bit of a hike. It's, you know, if you look at the map, it's not too far, but we were meeting. So like 3 years ago, we talked about on the show, I met like three of my best friends from growing up, brought their families to Italy. We had we had rented a big house. There were 16 of us in this big house, the pool in Italy. And they decided this year they wanted to do it again. So the two families flew in from Vancouver, spent a couple of weeks in Europe ahead of time, and then my other friend who lives in Hanover now, he's from Vancouver though, he flew in this little town called Amer, A-M-E-R. Even if you Google it, you're not going to find it. It's sort of in the northeast of Spain, up near north of Barcelona is a city called Girona. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. So up in the foothills, we rented a big house up there. I forget how many bedrooms, like 9 or 10 bedrooms or something like that. And a big swimming pool. And we were going to meet there for the week. That was our plan, just like we did in Tuscany. And so, you know, we kind of hemmed and hawed. We were going to drive our car down and stay in Airbnbs and that, you know, around that, like, because we wanted to camp or vacation around that a couple days before, like a week after kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because from our house to Girona, about you got to make a couple stops, pit stops or whatever. So you're looking at about 14 plus hours driving. So not crazy, but still substantial.
Okay.
So you don't want to go just do that. I mean, like what's a Soyuz? 6 hours?
Yeah, 5.5, something like that.
Yeah. So that's still a decent drive, but for 14 hours. And my wife, credit to her, she used to be the kind of girl who would drive 3 hours, maybe 3.5 a day. That would be it. And I was like, well, you know, if we leave at 3 o'clock in the morning, you and the kids will sleep most of it, and I can just drive, and we can probably get there in one shot, right?
Right.
So we did.
Wow.
We drove down, and just before the border to Spain, like we drove down, hit the Mediterranean on the French side, and we left a few days early, so we went camping in France for a couple of days at the beach in a place called Narbonne Plage, which means beach. Of course, you speak French, right? So you
sure
knew that.
Sure.
So we camped there for a couple days and then met our friends up in this place called Amer, which was great, like a really cool place, except the villa we rented was kind of in the middle of nowhere. Like the town itself is the middle of nowhere, and then from there, it's even less anywhere. Like it is up this hill with a road that is not really a road. Like it's barely a bike path. And so we had this big RV. We had borrowed my wife's parents' relatively new RV, which we had a couple years ago, and had to drive this big thing up this tiny little goat track. And I thought, oh no, like it's gravel and it's bumpy and it's windy and it's on a hill. And at one point I thought, I'm going to roll this thing. Like it's actually going to roll over. So everybody hold on. And we dodged that, fortunately.
That's good.
And managed. Yeah, the whole thing was going up. It's like I cannot stop. I cannot lose momentum, or that's it. I'm parked there. And so at one point, we're barely moving. I'm just spinning out like I'm Jim Rockford, just spraying gravel all over the Spanish hillside. Finally, get up and like, oh my god, we squeeze in. And I said, that's it. Like we're here for a week. We wanted to make day trips, but I was like, we're not leaving. Like I will leave here one time.
Right.
And that's it. I'm not. This thing will not. I will not get this back up the hill. So anyway, good times. So I didn't post, I'm not going to post any pictures from the first bit in France because it turns out we didn't wear shirts a whole lot. So I'm not going to post pictures of my son and myself running around with no shirts. Seems gotcha. Weird on the internet.
Gotcha.
So the first photo I got there, that's up. We hiked up to a little church called Santa Brigida. It's this little church on the hillside and literally on the hillside. So if you take like two steps behind us, you would just fall 1,000 feet to your death.
Nice.
Like see that little ledge there, that little thing, like what is it, a foot high?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Over the edge. Bye-bye. Thanks for playing. And it's like, wow, that's not safe. But had a nice little hike up there and people, they do the, what do you call it? The parasailing.
Oh yeah.
and that kind of stuff. They launch off of there. That's good times. The house we stayed at had had three pool tables, one of them outside, so that was kind of fun.
They liked pool.
Yeah, well, not really. He doesn't know how to play. My son.
But no, I mean the people who have the house, they obviously like pool.
Evidently, they enjoy it. Yes. Yeah. So here's my son trying to rip the felt at the outdoor table, and he enjoyed it. He and I played a couple games of pool, which is kind of nice. And then of course now, okay. So when I went, I brought two cameras. Here's my plan for the trip. So we're taking the RV. We're going to go up, stay in the villa for a week, and then we're going to go camping in the RV, at the beach. That's the plan.
Right.
So I think, what am I going to bring for cameras? Well, I love my X100. So I think, that's the ideal camera. It's so compact. I will shoot everything with that. Except I still want to have a beater as well because we're going to go to the beach, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with all the sand, I had no idea how wild the Costa Brava was. And so once we got there, I said, there's no way I'm bringing my X100 to the beach. Like it would just get beat up.
Okay.
And I'm not super interested. So I brought the 5D Classic and the 85.
Right.
And I figured that would serve me well. And now I regret not bringing the 40D with the 30mm. Really should have, probably should have been the only camera I brought, because it's so windy and crappy at the beach that even the 5D Classic, I was like, kind of wish I didn't have this here. I like this camera too much. But anyways, I thought about it and I was like, well, we're in an RV. Like what happens if, my camera gets stolen or whatever, I lose all those photos whatever our vacation is.
Right.
So so I debated, do I bring the laptop or do I not bring the laptop? Which, I mean, of course, if they break in, they steal my camera and my laptop. So good for them, I guess. But ultimately I decided I'm bringing the laptop, and that way I could load at the end of each day. I could just quickly load because we had power everywhere we went.
What if they stole the laptop, the camera as well?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They could have just got it all.
Yeah. Bye-bye, laptop.
Yeah. It was, well, I was, but I hid it under a shirt. So it's like, all right, they'll never find it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they'll never find it under that Apple shirt. So, I took a gamble. I was like, all right, I think we'll be okay. I'm not worried about a break-in so much, but just losing, more worried about getting my camera stolen at the beach or whatever it is. And so I brought that, and I offloaded all the pictures at the end of the day. But I didn't touch them. I didn't go and edit them. I just basically had them ready because it was basically a backup, so that if my camera got nicked in town or at the beach or whatever, I was set. So not sure I needed to do that. Felt a little bit better.
Gotcha.
So, all right. So then anyway, I also, because we drove, I threw an umbrella and a stand and a flash in as well, because I had room in the RV. Just one of my $20 flashes. Just a simple, the cheap umbrella, and brought a cable. I brought just the regular cable to trigger the flash. I didn't want to bother with batteries for the remote, for the wireless remote.
Okay.
Because I knew we'd get family photos. So there we go. This is one of the family photos that I snapped, one of each of the other families, and then someone turned around and snapped ours.
Nice.
I'm looking at it now. I feel like I got some sweat on my forehead I got to get rid of now. You look close, you can see. I better Photoshop that out.
Yeah, a couple of beads.
It was pretty warm. It was high 30s, so in all fairness to me.
Nobody else is sweating.
No. They weren't setting up the camera and whatnot. So. And we snapped a photo of the buddies, and obviously it quickly devolved into this.
Nice, yeah.
Little wrestling match.
I like it.
As you do. And one day, so this is sangria in the pool.
Okay.
Again, so this is probably the X100 at work. So that camera got used a lot around the villa. But that was just kind of nice. It's nice to snap photos like this. Really easy hand that camera off. And so that was the villa, and then we headed on down. We headed east to a place called Imperia Brava. You can check that out on the, not you, because you won't bother, but Anyways, so here's where we camp. We camp. This is the first shot of my daughter walking to the beach the first night we were there.
Okay.
And I thought, oh man, like what great light. Like we got there sort of mid-afternoon, went for a swim and came back, and it was about like a 60-second walk to this spot right here. And so we went out the first night. My son was pretty tired, so he just stayed in. Him and my wife stayed in bed, and I said, oh, let's go for a walk, kid, and see if we can get some photos. And shot about 1,000 photos because the light was just amazing. And this is with the 85 and the 5D Classic.
Nice. Yeah, it looks good.
And so you can see that. And then there's my daughter up on the sand dune with the coast in the background there.
Yeah, that's nice too.
Just great light. And then I shot the hell out of this lifeguard stand. Like I just happened to like the kind of weathered white paint. It just made a great prop. There's my daughter at magic hour, and then the very end of magic hour with her hair blowing. And I just wanted to show the transition into blue hour.
Yeah.
You can see how fast it goes. And then the last shot is her right at blue hour with the tower. So you can compare, like, this is like 10 minutes apart,
mm-hmm.
but you get these amazing different looks like within 10 minutes, and you don't have to go very far at all. Somehow these got put out of order. So there's the group shot. There's the, not the run-in group shot from the villa before we left. That's the, using your iPhone as a remote in your left hand shot.
Okay.
Which is something I happen to love about that camera. So there's a group shot of everybody just as we're leaving the villa to head down the coast.
Nice.
Next up, my son, boy, does he love the, we say the ocean, but it's really the sea. It's the Mediterranean. We're on the Mediterranean side, but the wind is whipping up these big, pretty decent sized waves. Perfect size for kids. He's not going to get swept out. He might get swept down the coast. Like that's kind of what was happening. But it was a pretty big coast, so you could go get him.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
Well, you keep an eye on him every half hour or so. But he just loved it. He just couldn't get enough of that. Then we went out the next night. And weather not as good, but this was another example of the seafoam filter of me and my kids. Although it makes my hair look super gray, which is kind of weird.
Okay.
Yeah. And then a shot of me and my son where I promise you, I think I'm smiling. Like in my head, I am smiling.
No.
No, in reality, I am not. Especially when I'm standing next to, you know, megawatt smile next to me. Like the kid doesn't stop smiling. Here I am thinking I'm just beaming and not. But I love the colors here. I love what's going on with the sand and the sky and the sea just all bunny together. And again, with that seafoam filter, which I'll never be able to recreate, loved it.
Cool.
Next up, I just happened to catch this cool looking light in the sky with my daughter digging in the sand. I just happen to love how
that looks cool.
There's that. And then I included this is the companion shot to my photo challenge. This is the shot after I cleaned the lens. So if you go back and compare, not you, Adam, of course.
No way.
Compare the different looks of contrast, one with the seafoam and one without. This is closer to reality.
Right.
Kind of like the other one. So I wonder if I would have got the same results with that, with the ProMist. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
All right, and then a couple more. We'll blow through these and be done with my vacation. Again, there's one of my wife and kids with the what do you call that? Lifeguard tower.
Yeah.
I'm just realizing this is the non-Photoshop version. I Photoshopped in the one I posted on Instagram. I Photoshopped out that little extra piece at the top right-hand corner of the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. The balance was off. So I think I pulled it out, but for this one, I did not bother. And there's my kids. This was going to be my vacation shot. I wasn't sure if this was going to be the one because they're having so much fun here, about to jump off the lifeguard tower.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Daughter dancing at blue hour. Which is kind of nice because the beach would just empty out. Because where we were, the beach is huge, long, long beach. Like you can hit spots in Spain where it's really crowded. There's a lot of people where we were, but the beach was so big that there's always room to have your own spot and go swimming and all that. And then at night, it was just empty. Like, I couldn't understand why people weren't out taking photos in the evening, because it was just amazing out there. So there's her dancing around. And then the last shot is them, like the kids riding home with the obligatory, hey, here we are in the RV shot.
Nice.
So there you go.
All right.
Good trip, decent drive, but I like driving in Canada better. I like the drive that you made, like up to Coquihalla and then, well, I guess Highway 97, if you went through Kelowna and all that. I miss that drive. It's beautiful, and it's hard to fall asleep on that drive. Not that I fell asleep. I'm just saying, like the Autobahn, if you drive the Autobahn in Germany, it's exhausting for one, because some people go very, very fast. And in the RV, I don't. I like maybe 115 or 120 or something like that. But, you know, you have to look out for other people going fast. The roads are relatively straight, and so you're just kind of going. And then you get to France, and they have their little Autobahn, which the speed limit's 130, but it's all toll roads. Meaning you get on, you go through a booth, you get a ticket, and then depending on how far you drive, once you get off, you then feed it in, and you have to pay for how far you went. And not all roads are owned by the same people, evidently, because it's privatized, as I understand it. So you have to stop every now and then and just pay, which kind of is not great. It's like Germany, the Autobahn's free. France, however, for us to drive from here down and cut across the corner of France, it was around like 110 euros each way.
Wow.
It's like, wow, okay, there you go. And then Spain, same thing. You pay, you know, toll roads for the exact same thing. And so now you get to stop and do that. And at one point coming back through France, I missed a turn and I had to drive, you know, a little bit too far out the wrong way and get off, pay, get back on, pay, get back off, pay. Like it was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks a lot, France.
Yeah.
I blame you. But all in all, had a great time. Love Spain. When you come over here, Adam, in the next couple of years, we're doing Spain.
Okay.
We'll work it out. We'll hit Barcelona. Went to the Salvador Dali Museum. Didn't show any pictures of that because it was just weird. But we'll hit all those things, and loved it. Cannot imagine going anywhere else but Spain for vacation.
All right.
All right. Or a Soyuz. I could do a Soyuz. We'll work on that.
Yeah, it's good too.
Maybe we'll do a home and away. We'll do a home and away.
Sounds good.
But I guess I need at least a year advance notice to book one of those places.
Yeah. We're not going to go back to the same place next year, because we figure we'll book one of the other places that does not require as much notice. We do love the place that we've stayed at, but we just thought, we're not sure if we'll go for sure next year. The a lot of variables up in the air, but if we do go, we'll do what our friends do, which is book one of the other places you can get on a couple months notice.
All right. Well, maybe we'll sort that out. We'll talk off the air about that.
Okay.
All right. Challenge for next week is our monthly challenge, and that is hot. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, or Hey Hosers, or even better, make sure you tag us at Two Hosers, and we'll check that out. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
They can go to adamschwartz.ca. And how about you?
Find mine at alanatridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.